Okay, here's the situation. Justin went away on a week's vacation, and he left the keys to the brand new Porsche. Would they mind? Well, of course not.
We have a Porsche?
Just we have one Porsche that we share. Yes. Maybe I shouldn't say that we have a Porsche in a Max Fun
it's
Drive.
Old. It's old. It's a bastard.
Yucky Porsche. It smells like old hamburgers.
Oh, if we're gonna powered by old hamburgers.
If we're going to get a new Porsche that's not powered by new hamburgers, we need your support in the Max Fun Drive. But that's not why Travis and I are here to talk to you. Justin is traveling this week. We recorded this episode a while ago and realized to our horror that Justin had messed up his recording.
Some audio issues. Let's put it a little more politically. There were some audio
issues. There were some audio issues. Our editor, Rachel, has gone through with a fine-tooth comb, and it sounds much, much better than it did, and much, much better than it would have without the support and dedicated hard work of Rachel, our editor, who we were able to hire because of the Max Fun Drive. So this is our last week of that, and we're going to talk about it a lot in this episode, so we won't belabor the point, but just wanted to give you a heads up and explain a little bit.
Now, on with the magic.
The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better with you. My life, it's better with you. This is true, it's better with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin Tyler McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation?
Whoa.
It's me, your middlest brother, Travis, the exalted McElroy. Okay,
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin
That's
McElroy.
Just my middle name. I don't know what you want me to say.
We've fucked up.
Oh, no.
We're recording this a full last week before this episode goes up. I like to have... You know, we record usually the morning of the show when it goes up so we can cover like weekend news and stuff like that. We're a week out and it's the Max Fun Drive. We have no idea news and also what level of desperation we need to bring to this second week altar call for the Max Fun Drive.
We should just do, you're right. We'll do two takes. Justin, give me utmost desperation. And then Griffin gave me kind of like a too cool for school, I don't really need this kind of feeling.
Can we switch? I'd rather be too cool for school.
I know. I think Justin, you try utmost desperation.
I feel like I would be better at desperation, just like based on my track record.
Hey, guys, I cast this not based on what you think you are, but what I know
Fair.
You are.
Fair. Okay, fine.
I'm just saying my dating career in high school proves that my desperate like state is not an appealing one.
Yeah. And I don't even know how to pretend to be like a cool guy.
Do you want me to just do both?
Guys, no, it's fine. Okay. All right. Who goes first?
Let's see. Justin's first.
Okay.
Hey. So this is a Max Fun Drive. It's supposed to be. We thought it was, but apparently you didn't. Yeah. It feels good to laugh. There hasn't been much of that our way lately.
Because of how shitty it's been for the drive, you mean.
Really, really sad how few of you have turned
out
for us.
We've got 9 total, and it's so far it's the 3 of us and our dad 6 times.
Now, why are you desperate?
Yeah, you're not desperate. This is just
I thought we were building the... Okay, sorry. No, it's no, no. Two different...
So,
gotcha,
anyway,
gotcha.
We're fucked. And I just wanted to say, please, if you can go to MaximumFun.org/join and find it in your heart to just give us $5 over and over again. forever. That would be so cool of you. And it really does help to support the show. We need it just to make ends meet, and none of you are doing it. And it's so hurtful. And thank you very much for your time. If anyone is actually listening to this, which I am not convinced of.
Okay. That's cool.
Is that good?
I mean, Travis is slow clapping, so it must have been pretty cool. All right.
I want to say, if you're watching, I believe Dick Wolf, creator of Law & Order and the Law & Order franchise.
Yeah.
How come you never have, like, good cop, pitiful, desperate cop?
Please.
Where it's just like, hey, man, can I get you some coffee? And also, could you just tell us if you did it?
Just say you did the crime.
I'm officer. Need this one. And what I'm saying is, I could really.
It would help me. I'm one case solving away from retirement. They won't let me retire.
I'm not doing so good.
Yeah.
I'm not doing so hot lately.
All right, let me try mine.
Too cool.
What's up, jabronis? It's Monday,
sir,
March.
What did you say?
What's up, jabronis? It's Monday, March 25th, and crazy weekend of news. And I just want to say we are sitting pretty in the Max Fun Drive at 80,000 members. Huge overshooting of our goals. And so I'm going to say, don't get me wrong, you get incredible bonus content if you join us at a $5 a month level. And it changes our lives. It allows us to do the work we do and expand and make new stuff, do video stuff, hire people to help us make our stuff. It's all been amazing. But we're at 80,000 members now. And so we are sitting pretty. This is a bit. Please still go to MaximumFun.org/join because we do need the help. But we're sitting pretty jabronis. So
we're pretty jabronis over here.
We're all pretty jabronis over here. Maximum,
we got the ring.
Yep.
We got the crown. We got the wand. I passed the black ring over to Justin. And now we're pretty, pretty jabronis.
And this is the first happiness I felt in my life. Don't you want to make us like that?
Whoa.
Don't you want to make us like that? MaximumFun.org/join. We're goofing around here, but it really is.
We're not really jabronis.
We're not really jabronis. We are pretty, but
I'm soaked over here, guys.
I soaked, Justin.
Spit take. I've never actually done that in real life. It sucks. They don't tell you about the repercussions.
Your shit's all wet. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's wet. It sucks.
Listen. It's our last week of doing this, and then we'll leave you alone for the rest of the year.
Promise.
But we
will not alone. We'll still make the show.
We'll still make the show, and like we'll ask you to do us stuff sometimes, but like
just like friends, like regular
like friends
stuff.
Yeah. But really, if you go to MaximumFun.org/join, if you have maybe you've been listening to this show for fucking 14 years and you've never joined the network, maybe think about that. How much joy we've brought into your, how many times we've made you moisten your desk. With wet laughter.
Maybe you felt guilty about it and you didn't even know. That's been the one thing holding you back is the subconscious guilt you felt. And I want you to be free of that. I want this for you.
Right.
I want you to have the satisfaction of knowing you supported people making stuff that you like. This is a selfless act. It's for you.
To kick it off, this episode, a little different, a little change here.
Okay.
Chilling.
This is one of my classic icebreaker thought starters, getting to know you.
Oh, cool.
Right.
Yeah, we definitely need those.
This is from Filet Mignon in, I'm going to say Worcester, Massachusetts? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think, would you settle an argument? I think that minions would taste like lamb. My friend says crocodile, but my wife says flan or flan. So, once and for all, what does a minion taste like?
And how would you prepare one?
I would eat them alive. So I could really enjoy it.
Yeah, you got to. This is weird. It's weird that you included this. It's weird that someone asked this and wanted to know this. I'm not saying we won't do it, because like...
Well, I just thought the answer was so obvious.
Okay, and also, don't say banana.
No, not banana.
Okay.
Twinkie. I look at that motherfucker. That's an orange. That's a yellow sponge cake.
He's got cream inside there. Is what you're saying.
We don't need to go
that
far.
If Gru was to snap a minion over his knee, there would be an explosion of cream, is what you're saying.
Yeah, an explosion of cream. I'm saying you look at a picture of Twinkie the kid side by side with a minion. There's an evolutionary chart there.
I think that's could be good. I like flan.
When I look at them, they feel gummy. It feels like it would be a gummy, like in Willy Wonka when you're eating the flowers and stuff, and it only look kind of good, but still, yeah. You didn't eat flowers. Like, I feel like this would be kind of like that. Very gummy, dense, chewy, fruity.
Any suggestion of the sponginess or gumminess of these beings is an insult to the acumen and ability of Gru as a mad scientist. These are service workers. They do hard and dangerous work for Gru's like evil machinations and plans. I think that they are a perfectly tubular, capsule-shaped, 250-pound solid loaf of fuck muscle. I think if you ran up to a minion or like a banana and you tried to push him over, you would actually fall down backwards.
Now, okay, Griffin, I understand your point and it's very well made, especially the fuck muscle part. Yeah. But wouldn't you want them to be incredibly not just solid but resilient? Because I would argue, I'm looking at a picture of one right now. Who knows which one? Maybe Bob, maybe Frank, maybe Steven. Marshmallow Peep is really ringing true in my head because you could put that through so much squishing and squashing and stretching and stretching and still have a working minion at the end of it.
Yeah, that would also be true, though, if he was 250-pound capsule-shaped fuck muscle. You couldn't do any of that stuff. A one-foot-tall
250-pound capsule of fuck muscle.
So you think Gru is constantly, like, debating with himself, like, I want to work them extremely hard at crime, but if they do it too much, they'll be too sinewy to consume in a pleasurable way.
Mm. Yeah.
It must be hard for him to decide when it's time to eat one.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Everybody, you did a great job on the thing this weekend, but one of you fell behind, maybe getting a little too old. You come inside with me. We have dinner together. I don't know where Gru's from or how to do the accent.
Here's what I think is like. I think he takes one in. Maybe it died in the line of duty. And that happens a fucking lot in those Despicable Me movies, and we don't talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it's a minion.
It does happen in Despicable Me movies. It does not happen in Minions movies.
You're right.
They draw a line. Like, no, they're people now for a little bit. They're people. So you should be sad if they die.
I think he takes one of his fallen comrades with help from two other minions because they heavy and takes him into his dining room.
He ain't heavy.
He's a minion. He is heavy also.
Oh, right.
And they lay him on a table. He says, "You're excused." And the other minions leave. And then he just cuts in there. And I think it's just basically a beef Wellington in there.
Oh, you think?
I think if you cut out a round of minion, there's a pastry crust, a duxelle, I think that it's popping.
I wouldn't be surprised if in the beginning, and don't let the Minions movies rewrite the truth, he just had one big long minion.
Yeah.
And as it took hits, it just kept splitting into smaller and smaller pieces. And they grew eyes and just kept going.
It'd be cool if they just had an extruder, a minion extruder.
Yeah. At first, he had like a 36-foot tall minion. Yeah.
I can't get past the idea of an inedible shell. I don't think they would have an edible shell. I think it would be like you crack it open.
A rind?
A rind. Yeah. Like a rind that you have to get to the meat.
Protective. The meat inside. Yeah.
That's cool. I hated this question, but then I liked it when we started talking about it. So that's cool.
I knew we'd get there.
Yeah. That kicks ass.
And I think we helped some people.
How about another question?
Yeah. Here we go. This one is this. I mentioned to a coworker that I was looking at mountain biking shoes. I was doing this because I like shoes. They were cute. And my boyfriend is a biking fiend, so I might go biking with him. Might being a bit optimistic. I did not realize at the time my coworker loves to mountain bike. My coworker now believes that I love mountain biking and needs to hear about all his mountain biking plans. He even sent me a video of his kid riding a bike. How do I make the mountain biking madness stop? That's from Plagued by Pedals in Provo.
Was the kid doing something cool, or was it just like, that's what it looks like? I'm confused.
If you're riding a bike on a mountain, that's pretty cool.
It is cool.
I've never seen a video of someone riding a bike on a mountain and been like, yawn.
When you see the video of the bike, and it's like somehow they found a mountain that's about 3 inches wide, and they're like riding the tiniest trunk, kind of hopping from rock to rock.
Scary, scary shit.
I look at that and I think we don't have to do everything. Like if I started to do that, you guys would be like, "Whoa, impulse control, Travis."
Yeah,
that's a first thought. What about a second thought?
When
but Travis Pastrana does it, and you're like, "Yes, that Travis."
That
I'm
Travis
just saying, guys.
Do it.
I've got some stuff I need to work through.
When I see people, and usually in sort of like a Red Bull skills competition, and they're hopping their bike between these narrow spires, these columns of red stone in the desert, a million feet high, and they're just hopping down it and making it look cool and easy. I think, how does someone get good at that?
Yeah.
Because it seems like maybe it's a maybe this is a survivorship bias situation where there's lots of videos of people going, I'm going to do my silly hops down these spires on my bike. Oh, no. And those don't make it onto TikTok, or they don't last very long on there if they do. What we do see is the one guy who's like, oh, thank Christ. Thank Christ. I did the hops. Please don't make me do it again.
Thank God.
Justin, you looking at cool mountain biking videos? Because I see your eyes flicking across the screen looking for like dope thumbnails of people doing like wingsuit tricks.
And no, I just didn't have anything to add at that exact moment.
I you know, have you guys ever seen the bikes that have the pedals where your feet like lock into the, like you're wearing shoes that lock in? You don't do that for mountain biking, right? Because that's a huge, you're committing to if this bike goes down, I'm going down, right?
Or if I go down, the bike is going down with on top, towards, inside me. Yeah. No joke.
But how how do you I mean, maybe just kind of.
No,
come on, no. Let him. There's something cooking inside of Justin.
I'm struggling with this question.
You could do what I do. Completely forget about a deep love you had and move on to something else, and become deeply invested in that, both financially and mentally. Talk about that for 6 months and make it your whole deal. But then what's that? You don't care about that thing anymore. You've moved on to a new purpose in life. Be it blacksmithing, be it baking, be it plant keeping, fish keeping. An electric guitar you bought yourself and you promised you would learn, and then you never picked it up again. Something like that. You know what I mean? So you just aren't into mountain biking anymore.
There's something about bikes, though. Because I feel like lots of people bounce around shit, and then they'll hit bikes, and then they'll get kind of stuck there.
Well, scientists don't know how they work. That's what Justin told me. Scientists don't know how bikes work.
Yes, that's true. We don't know how bikes work.
Are we really going to do this on the podcast? Because it's outrageous.
I'll talk to you about it off mic. I'm just saying we don't know how bikes work. We don't. So I'm sorry, Griffin. I didn't mean to bring the whole energy of the show to that, but we don't know how bikes work.
It's outrageous that that could be true.
It is true. We don't exactly know how bikes stay upright. We don't know how that works.
Okay. If that's true, then nothing science has accomplished so far means a hill of beans. If we can't... if we can build a Large Hadron Collider that can discover the God element in a million-mile-long sort of turbo tunnel and launch two particles at each other at the speed of light and see what the fuck happens when they collide, but we don't know how a bike works, our priorities are so profoundly fucking out of whack. Like, let's get to the bottom of this before I get back out on my beautiful steed.
We tried. It was too hard. We did something else. It's a different
size. How would you feel, though, Justin, if someone said, yeah, we came out with a brand new, I don't know, the 2025 Mitsubishi. We don't know how it works.
It goes so fast, guys. We got no fucking... It goes from 0 to 60 in 0.1. We don't know how the fuck it does it. So get out there.
I would feel... the same way I felt when I found out we don't know how bikes work, which is bad, pretty bad.
Okay.
Pretty bad. I felt bad about it, and I would feel bad about this. Here's something you could do is bring a bent-in wheel to work.
Oh, nice.
And then you're like, can you believe this?
Uh-huh.
Again?
Never again.
Oh, never again.
Never again with these fucking bi-wheeled bastard.
Oh, you come in on Monday, you look so down. And your coworker's like, what's wrong? And you're like, well, the neighborhood, like the kind of street punks we've been kind of bullying about their mountain biking finally challenged us to a race. And we said the loser would never bike in this town again. And it turns out, even though we thought they were just kind of an underdog, you know, kind of ragtag group, they banded together, they beat us. I'm never allowed to mountain bike in this town again.
And I can't go against that. Like,
I can't go against it. Those are street rules.
They'll kill my family. I can't do that.
Racing for ownership, you Travis. You're saying they're racing to banned from
2003's from Eric Von Detten challenged them to a downhill race. And it's so important in this, you're the bad guys.
Because absolutely.
The good guys win. The good guys have to win. So if you guys are the good guys, you're still able to ride in this town again. Yeah. You have to lose while Eric Von Detten, his long, beautiful locks flowing in the wind, his ragtag group of friends, they band together, they beat you in the mountain bike race. You can never ride in this town again.
I went mountain biking once with my friend Alex when I was in middle school. I borrowed my friend Andy's bike so that I could go and ride on that big dirt hill behind the Kroger. And there's like a jump back there. Maybe it's a Kmart. I don't know. It's on Route 60. And
Kmart.
And they had like a little
Kmart. Now it's a Dollar Tree.
They had a little dirt ramp that you could like jump off of. And so I did. I jumped it, and I like just became separated from the bike in the air, and I landed, and I broke our friend Andy's bike pretty bad, and I tore a hole on my butt of my pants. And then do you guys know what happened?
What?
I wasn't asked to do it ever again.
Now, listen, I also just want to say, Griffin, I broke my... And then the rest of that sentence being friend Andy's bike. And I tore a big hole in the butt of my pants.
Yeah.
Are both the best way those sentences could end given what had happened.
Yeah. I broke my wiener bone and tore a hole in my balls.
now we're just doing some Mad Libs.
Andy's
with what could
happen. Andy's bike was okay,
and the butt of my pants doubled in thickness.
I don't know what I
doubled in thickness. Listen, do you think that if you went mountain biking once and you borrowed a bike for your friend and did the coolest stunts that are dangerous to you in the bike, they would say no? I heard about like when Griffin did this before. You're banned. You're banned from being with us.
Well, you would have to fuck up. You can't do the toughest tricks and land them.
No.
I did land. I am not still suspended in the air above the dirt track behind the Kmart. I did land.
Now, was there not a part of you, Griffin? Because this is my thing of like, hey, you know what I've just figured out? I'd love to watch you do that. That sounds like a fun thing for me to observe, but not.
I wish I had footage of it. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done because it is usually if I recognize that I don't have the required skill to do something that could hurt me if I do a bad job of it, I'll just go ahead and do it.
Do you think even that's when it
and in fact, sometimes if I am confident I have the skill to do something, but there's a chance I'll get hurt if I fail it, I'll still kind of sit that one out. This is the one time where I really went wild, but this is pre-cell phones. And so otherwise, I would have for sure hit World Star. For sure.
For sure.
Should we tell our friends at home something about the Max Fun Drive?
Yeah, Griff, it's a time where once a year we come to you and say, hey, friend, we'd really appreciate if you gave us a little help in paying for these here shows that you enjoy so much. But it's not just us asking for you to pledge $5 or $10, $20 per month. No. We're saying thanks with some fantastic gifts.
That's right, Justin.
If you can pledge $5 a month, I'll start you off with 600 hours, more than, plus of bonus content that you can enjoy at your leisure. You don't have to do an all-in-one sitting. In fact, we would advise against it.
You'll die. Can you tell them what we did from a Bim Bam and Taz this year?
So it's kind of like a double header, double album for My Brother, Me. We made up a game for our dad to play based on Plato's Rave. It is a sort of one-shot RPG that we came up. And then for the Adventure Zone, we ran the game, all three of us as the GMs and dad playing it. And it is outrageous.
It's outrageous.
I just want to say, too, at $10 a month, not only do you get that, but you also get your pick of an enamel pin from the shows on the network. And these are some really great pins.
There's a Mabim Bam one that says bring back farm wisdom on it so you can die on that hill with in style.
I really enjoy, I believe, is this the wonderful pen with 8-bit Griffin and 8-bit Rachel? Is that
yes,
you guys?
It's us in Stardew Valley style. Yes,
I love that so much.
There's a bunch of stuff, and this whole week we are going to be doing like streams basically every day. I started things out last week with a Fuser stream with custom songs DJ'd together. Going to do that again this week when you hear this. And on Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, we're having a pizza party on our YouTube channel to celebrate with everyone. So make sure that you come by for that. We'll send this thing out with a bang. We got stuff happening every day. We got stretch goals that we're doing. If we can get people to join us at certain numbers, I have no fucking clue what we are at as we do this second episode, because again, we're a week out. But you know, we're doing a lot of stuff, and we are able to do all that stuff because we have a team of people who help us, and we are able to have a team of people who help us because of the Max Fun Drive. Straight up, there is a one-to-one correlation between the support you show us and the Max Fun Drive and the amount of stuff and quality of stuff that we are able to make for you.
They
that
really
is a wonderful thing.
Having people who are supporting the show that you are helping to pay really helps us to be more consistent. Like Rachel, our editor, has saved so much time that we're able to use actually making stuff. Amanda, who handles so much for us, is able to take stuff off our plate because of you and your generosity that allows us to just make stuff for you basically all the time. Anytime we're awake.
And thanks to your support, last year I was able to quit my job at Circuit City.
Yeah, true.
I was protecting the abandoned buildings from being taken over by rats, and yeah. it kept me up most nights.
Yeah,
both because it was a night job and because it was so terrifying.
Yeah.
But I was paid my way in dead rats, which was nice. But yeah. Now, thanks to your support, I was able to quit that job and do podcasting full time. And now I just kill rats for fun.
If you
not
don't...
for work anymore, I've been able to find the love and joy in it again. And it means so much to me to be able to kill rats with passion once
if
more.
You don't join us, mm-hmm. Travis will eat 100 rats. If you do join us, Travis will eat 100 rats, but for him. For him. On his terms.
If I do it, I will do it in a reluctant, begrudging manner if we don't do it. But if we do it, I'll do it in an enthusiastic, excited,
right.
Like, oh, every day is a gift kind of manner.
Right. So MaximumFun.org/join is where you can go. If you're already a member, you can upgrade your membership. If you do it during the drive, you can get the next pledge level of gifts. If you don't want to jump up that high, you can boost your membership by, you know, a buck or two. That is hugely helpful. Or you can be a first-time member and get access to a ton of great bonus content and help us continue to make and grow these shows. We mentioned this last week. There are certain parts of the media business that are not doing good at all right now, namely advertising. And so more than ever, we are relying on the Max Fund members to help us out and help us make this show. And you all have been absolutely amazing in the past and have helped us out so much. And so we just ask for your support this year at MaximumFun.org/join. Can we go to the wizard's house? He's got a cloud hut.
Let me get my shoes.
Okay. And then take them off. He hates shoes.
Well, yeah, but the in-between, I need him to get there. He's not going to like my bare feet, like my RA in college, who prided himself on walking around barefoot for 3 years.
No, he loves it. He loves it? Yeah.
He loves it when my feet have become hooves?
He likes it when he's like, he'll say stuff like, the nasty of the toes. And he won't say anything else. He'll just be like, the nasty of the toes.
Just raise his eyebrows 30 times.
He raises his eyebrows real big. And his eyebrows are fucking crazy.
He couldn't come up with a second half of the rhyme. So he lets you fill it in. The tastier the rose. That's not it.
No, that's not it. I just quick update. Last week, we did repeat a WikiHow that we had done back in episode 590. So that's on me. That one's on
did
me.
Did we
that's,
say new things?
Did we do new jokes?
I fucking hope so, man. That was like 2 years ago, though. So I don't feel like super bad about it, but I do feel a little bit bad about it. Hopefully,
now I'm curious what would happen if you like overlaid them. How many similar...
What if it was one for... What if it was perfect?
Perfect
what
one if it was for one.
This one is sent in by Diana. Thank you, Diana. It is how to be a spy kid. How to be a spy kid. Spying may be fun and exciting, but it's not easy. A good spy is hard to find. To be the next
one... Yeah, that's the point.
That's a really, really good double entendre. To be the next undercover agent, you'll need to get trained, create a team, learn mission protocol, hide the evidence, and enhance your spying technique through various spy activities.
Can I just say, thank you, Griffin, for opening this door for me to step through. I've been wanting to say this for a long time. I think that the next James Bond, they need to pick a much more plain-looking person. They always pick the most handsome, like, interesting-looking person. And if that guy walked into a room in, like, a tuxedo and a big, like, flashy white, I'd be like, that's a fucking spy. That guy's a spy.
It's like, you know, spies don't always, like, you guys seem to have this vision of spies, like, they're always hiding in the rafters and sneaking around. Like, spies go into rooms and they're like, everybody dig me. And everybody's like, they dig them for the wrong reasons. They dig them.
Oh, I get you.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, so it's not that the spy is hiding. It's that everybody wants to kiss the spy.
I'm saying that if Pierce Brosnan, circa GoldenEye, rolls up to me and he's like, yeah, man, isn't it wild to talk about arms dealers and stuff? You're not an arms dealer, are you? I'd be like, look at you.
Look at you.
Look at you. I'm not going to talk to you. You're clearly a spy.
The fact that you highlighted circa GoldenEye as if to suggest that Pierce Brosnan isn't the sexiest he's ever been right now.
But you could literally say that at any moment of his career, Griffin. I'm saying that Pierce Brosnan circa GoldenEye was, I mean, compared to other James Bond movies where it got whimsical and weird with the gadgets. I'm saying that James Bond walks in, sits down, the handsomest James Bond that has James Bonded.
Everyone's going to be watching Pierce Brosnan no matter what he's doing.
This is what I'm saying.
When I see someone as
attractive as that, I'm going to assume their motives are pure.
Okay.
That their heart is clean and that they wish me only the best.
Yeah, cool. We'll see how that goes. I was going to say normal looking spy was kind of the plot of Johnny English, but hey, this might be an unpopular opinion. Fucking Rowan Atkinson looks hot as hell in that movie too. There's something about that mantle. There's something about being a spy that is just kind of hot.
I know he's a complicated guy.
I think they get it best with Simon Pegg and Mission Impossible, where I'm like, nice looking, not bad
pulling
to look
it
at.
Off. Yeah,
but he's just in a bar or whatever. Yeah, okay, cool, man.
Whatever you say, dude. Organize your team. Can this be the three of us?
Yeah.
I think
three brothers solving crimes, investigating.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a really weird, like, our Venn diagram just looks like a slightly out of focus circle. Like,
we're pretty good at most of the same stuff.
I think
we all bring different skill. Like, Griffin's the tech guy. I'm like the face man. And Justin runs errands for us and picks up stuff that
Justin's
we need.
Strong. Like, juice, like, if we need someone to, like, pull down a pipe.
Travis is strong. Though.
Yeah, oh, I'm pretty strong. You're right.
Yeah, I'm not sure what. Well, you're strong, but you're strong for a podcaster. You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying, like, the ways that we distinguish ourselves, if you zoom out, we're basically the same guy three times.
Yeah.
And I don't think
one of us has purple hair, so don't go lumping me in there, buddy.
Justin can make Chex Mix really good.
That's true. And he could write checks. I've seen him. Yes. Cursive is.
Travis mentioned cursive. This is something I want to do on Macroy Family Clubhouse, by the way. We should see how many cursives you
fuck
remember.
Fuck off. There's no way I would put myself on a blast like that.
Sorry, yeah. What? You could do Travis, all the cursive letters.
We've
done this before on the show, too.
I've struggled with the capital G, and it's my own first initial of my first name.
Yeah.
And so...
Don't write him.
Let me see. Capital G.
What does he got? Capital G? I mean,
that's
it's good.
Really good.
It's really good. I don't want to play this game anymore. It's too good.
Damn it. Form your team.
That's Z, baby. That's the tough one.
Whoa,
yeah, that is,
that's
really
weird.
Good, Travis. So, spying is safer and more fun with two or more people. Your teammates can back you up and can help you complete your mission faster with the right group of people, of course. If you decide to be alone, that's okay too. Thanks, Wikiao.
Okay.
Secrets can definitely be kept a lot easier when it's just you. Wow.
If you need to kill your teammates to keep a secret, that's okay.
Yeah, you need them in the beginning. You may not need them at the end.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, this is good. Okay. You should have one teammate who knows a lot about technology, such as computer shortcuts and knowledge of gadgets.
Okay, Griffin knows a lot of those where you can, like, hit three keys at the same time and make, like, a special, like, symbol pop up.
I can format a Google Doc in, like, a minute.
Yeah.
The tech member can also make maps. Sure. Plans. Sure. Charts. Mm-hmm. And notes about the secret mission. I can do all that shit in Google Docs, and I can make it look pretty as fuck with a bunch of cool shortcuts. Being clever doesn't hurt either. If you have a friend that's great at thinking outside of the box and is quick on his or her feet, Justin.
Okay. All right.
Add them to the mix.
I think Travis wanted to be that guy.
I kind of thought it was me with the neurodivergence and everything, but that's fine. I'm just kind of the ADHD one. Do they have that there, Griffin, and have a friend with ADHD?
No, but it does have, if you have a teammate who's strong, like for heavy lifting or hard tasks that involve strength. Does ADHD make you like fit, like strong, like physically strong? Oh, yeah, shit.
Don't feed into that stereotype, Travis.
My muscles are hyperactive. Oh, cool. I just use my hyperactive muscles.
But don't just let anyone onto your team. You need skilled spies, not grunt men. Thank you very much. This spy organization could use with a few grunt men.
Yeah, I actually don't want to do all the grunt work.
I don't think they're called grunt men. Is that what it says in the article?
It says grunt men.
Minions is trademarked, so they can't call them that.
We've got the hacker. We've got the wheelman. Justin also has a car, so he should be the wheelman too. We've got the muscle, and then we've got Gruntman. Gruntman 1 and Gruntman 2. These guys, they aren't very quiet. They make a lot of noise everywhere they go. Yeah. Anything they do, they make so much fucking noise. But if we need a copy made of something,
we can't...
What you want me
a
to
a lot of suits, and those suits get dirty. Have you seen the shit? Like smashing through walls, swimming through like sewers and getting blood all over them.
Putting bomb on the bottom of swimming pool. Like I'm dirty and I need Gruntman 1 to run to Brooks Brothers and get me a new kit.
I would also like people cheering for us. The people that are like supporting us when we're low. You know what I mean? Like
and
that,
like maybe having lunch ready when we get back. You know what I mean? Would be nice.
Yeah,
you're not appreciating their skill set at that point, Travis. I think you're asking a lot from them. Like, we should hire a professional chef.
Gruntman graduated from Culinary Institute, bud. Maybe you should take some time to get to know Gruntman 1.
If Gruntman 1 wanted to go into that business, into that field, he would have pursued it. He gave that life up.
Justin, he needs seed money to start his own restaurant.
That's why he's doing
in between. I don't want to be a waypoint for lost souls. I want someone in this organization that is like, will die for us. Like, he would be killed instead.
Yeah. No, he'll do that.
Yeah. It won't be
but
me.
But eventually he'd like to make creme brulee professionally.
Just want to say, it's a little life hack for you at home. If you're the hacker, you're not going to get staffed.
Yeah.
Like, you're at your computer. The worst thing that can happen is that the government counterhacks you and your computer shut down. It isn't like screen explodes and you fucking die.
Everybody on your team gets killed. You like literally hop on your phone, LinkedIn, any one of like 30 Silicon Valley jobs that are just
hackers
sitting there.
Cool. No hackers cool because your whole team gets squished by the elevator or whatever, and all you do is just close the laptop, stand up, put on a baseball hat, walk into the crowd. That's fucking cool.
That's exactly what I was picturing. That exact moment. That's how clear that it went.
That's gonna do it. Walk, go. Next job, Dairy Queen.
The hacker is safe, but I've watched a lot of movies in my day, and I will just say this as a blanket statement. If at any point the villain shows up where your hacker is and kills them, you're done, Jack. You're done, okay? Yeah. They are way too bad for you. You are not going to win over them. They are several steps ahead.
The hacker is like the medic in like spy, like Geneva Convention. Like, you killed the hacker? No.
He's a journalist.
What are you talking about? You can kill Gruntman 1 and Gruntman 2, and I get it.
That's why I love to keep a Gruntman around where the hacking takes place.
Just circling the hacker.
To have a little bit of help. Yep. So set up a hierarchy for your team. This is where it's going to get nasty.
Where's the kid part?
Be a kid. Keep your grades up.
Okay.
Set up a hierarchy. Make sure each of your members has a purpose. They'll feel like they're a valuable part of the team too if they have a specific role. And now let's make them feel less valuable by setting up a hierarchy. A captain who's in charge of the team. Hacker can't be that.
No.
Wait
a minute. That's a good thought, Griffin. They always make the leader the person who's going in and doing a lot of the punching and codes.
Oh, but I got the map.
Yeah. Why don't you just be the leader? And that way, if we all get killed, you go find other people that love the same kind of crime.
That's and cool.
You
can,
you know, continue our mission.
I just assumed it's because, as we've established, the hacker is the safest. So it's kind of hard for the captain to be like, okay, Tom Cruise's character, now walk towards that guy with the big gun.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what sets us apart. Is like the hacker is the leader. So you can't stop us.
Yeah, so when we go to SpyCon, they'll be like, we'll do a panel on like innovations in spy hierarchies. And we'll be like, walk up there and be like, hey, what's up? I'll say like a cool name, like Clover Knife.
Electro Lizard.
I'm Electro Lizard. And I'm a spy. And they'll all say, hi, Electro Lizard. And then I'll be like,
I've been spying for 6 months now. Congratulations.
I'll be like, check this shit out, guys. I'm the hacker and the captain. Everybody's going to stand up and applaud me, one, for my bravery, and two, for this incredible idea. I have the map. Of course I should be the one telling people where to go.
A window breaks. A shot rings out. Grumman 1 dives between Electro Lizard and the window. Grumman 1 goes down.
Just how I planned it as the captain of the team. A vice captain who helped the captain make decisions and take their place if they are ill. Spy kids.
If they're ill?
Guys, it's me, Captain Hacker. Electro Lizard, I had some Buffalo Wild Wings last night. And it is for that reason that Gruntman 2 is going to sub in today as vice captain. He ain't hacking. Like, no one's hacking on this mission, okay?
There will
be, you guys are going to be hacking free. But you will have a guiding light in the form of Gruntman 2. A tech person in charge of the computer surveillance equipment and maps. That's not in the hierarchy. That's just like a job.
Yeah, it's a rank. Yeah, it's not a rank.
It's weird that, see, that's what it tells you, Griffin, about how much we need to break up the hierarchy, like establish that they would put that in the list of like, and of course, third on the list, hacker. Because they're not.
That's just how important the hacker is. Also says, make sure there are other spies at the base ready to back you up on your mission. Right. We have talked about Gruntmans. How many kids are going to be part of this operate? Like, if someone's like, hey, do you want to join our spy club? And you're like, yeah, sure. And then you show up to the first meeting and there's 46 kids there.
Yeah. And they're like, we're sending out three of you. Two of you are grunts. The other 41, you're going to rotate in if we need you. So just stay here in Bill's backyard.
Yes.
We'll yell.
Yeah. There's so many spy kids that want the opportunity. And I only know about two spy kids. So what is happening with all these other spy kids?
Yeah.
These potential spy kids.
We don't see a lot of, like in the Spy Kids movie, a lot of desk spy kids where like the spy kids come back and file their paperwork with the other kids that just work desk
jobs.
There
should be an HR spy kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe most of the time I'm learning about dinosaurs and biology, but by night, I talk people through interpersonal problems that they're experiencing in the workplace.
Equip your team members with
your... If I'm killed by the bad guys, something's gone terribly wrong.
Something's really wicked fucked up. Equip your team members with your spy gadgets. Remember, being a spy team means helping each other through thick and thin. That doesn't have any fucking... If you have a few gadgets to your name, dish them out evenly. Oh, okay. The more successful your team is, the more successful you and the mission are. Yeah, man.
I disagree. If you have... Let's say you have four members, right? And everybody can carry two gadgets. Mm-hmm. And you have four gadgets. Yeah, you could give each person one gadget or have two people loaded down with gadgets and they're leading the way.
Or... one person with a lot of gadgets.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
The gadgeteer of the group.
The gadget guy.
Tom Cruise has most of the gadgets. Because when Tom Cruise comes face to face with a bad guy, he doesn't want to be like, now I'll use the mask. And Benji's like, oh, I've got the mask. And he's like, what? Fuck. Can you bring it to me? I mean, not in the next like 20 minutes.
I bet that is awkward when they're divvying up the gadgets in the beginning. And Tom Cruise is like, well, I will be doing most of the... different things. Yeah. I mean, it'd be fair.
Big Rames is like, but I want to have the gun this time.
But I said I want the gun this time. You said last time I can have the gun this time. You promised, Ethan.
And this here is a special marshmallow that when you eat it, it makes you better at hacking. I need that. You don't need that, Tom Cruise. Why do you need that, Tom Cruise?
Oh, a wingsuit that lets me jump off of a motorcycle? Yeah, can I have that? You're sitting in a car with a computer. You don't know.
Right here, we've got a very realistic-looking Tom Cruise mask. I need that! I need that to look like Tom Cruise!
You are Tom Cruise, Tom Cruise.
So some of the examples they give: intercoms, cell phones, video equipment, iPods and other communication devices, walkie-talkies, whistles, cameras. That's a smartphone. That's a smartphone.
There's also like four different versions of the same thing in there. Intercom and walkie-talkie, you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Communications keys.
Says here, katana or other similar long blade.
As a spy kid?
Scoose?
It doesn't actually say that. Oh, but if it did, but you know me, like.
Yeah. No, just lizard. Take one of your parents' kitchen knives for that. Pretend it's a katana. Nothing bad can happen.
Yeah.
You're a spy kid.
My whole aesthetic as Electro Lizard is very like cyberpunk. So I do have a katana and I do have a shotgun that has been sawed off to a degree where it is not functional.
He went too far. The cartridges fall right out of it.
It's not fault. He kept bringing it back to us, and Travis and I were like, well, that's pretty rad, but I bet you can make it even radder. And he's like, just kidding. Let me try again. And he came back eventually, and it was just the handle.
It's just a handle. The stock, no
honestly, he cut off past where the trigger is. Yeah. And that was just a wooden kind of like triangle.
He was really unsure when he got to that point. We were like, no, take a little bit more off.
Yeah, a little bit more. And the worst part is it didn't even happen in one. So it's not like two halves. He has 10 chunks of shotgun. Even glue it back together. No.
I made some special rings. Out of those lost barrels. The flint, the little hammer is still on there. So now it's a pretty kick-ass fidget while I'm hacking. Now, training as a spy. Practice using your gadgets. Do several practice runs in location other than the actual mission to test and get used to your gadgets and clothes. Your clothes didn't spy.
This is seal them.
Dress the part. Two things to consider. You either want to go totally spy worthy or totally incognito. It's more fun to dress like a spy, but sometimes it makes more sense to blend in, which is appropriate for your next mission.
So when they say spy worthy, they're talking like suit, like tuxedo, right?
There's a picture here, and it's one half of it is a boy in sweats and a green t-shirt, and the other one is a boy who looks like a Blues Brother. And I bet you James Bond, when he goes somewhere and he's like, you're going to a party on the beach, James, and there's a drug guy who's there. You need to find him and get the key. And he's like, okay, I'm going to wear my fancy suit. And they'll be like, James?
Mm-mm.
No, James.
No, rather.
But the jacket, it has like stuff sewn into it. James, but you're going to look like a dingus.
We got these board shorts for you, James.
It's a Tommy Bahama and board shorts.
It's a brand deal we worked out. Things have been hard for the government lately with all the cutbacks and whatnot, so you're branded now.
Please, these Crocs.
Now, what's amazing, James, we've taken your shoes and we've altered them. We've cut tiny holes in them and made them out of a soft, cushy thing. They're breathable now, James. We call them crocodiles.
Learn to code data. Encrypt your written messages with a simple code. They can be as simple as substituting a letter for another, or you can use numbers for letter or make up entirely new symbols that correspond to the alphabet. That's a pretty like wild homework. Escalation of code technology.
Yeah.
Of switch the letters around, use numbers instead of letters, or come up with your own alphabet.
It's also weird that their advice in doing this made up thing is to do a real, very hard thing.
Yeah.
Like if I want to put in the work of learning to code and get one of the many great jobs in computer technologies, I maybe don't need to be a spy kid. If I have that kind of like ethic, maybe I'm just going to go get a great job.
Like this WikiHow article should be titled like, how to talk your kids out of playing a game they want to play.
Yeah, like, spy kid, huh?
Oh, cool, yeah, you want to pretend to be a spy. Okay, sit down and let me teach you about ciphers.
It's a lot of work being
now,
a spy
kid. Now look
at this,
see this symbol? It's like, no, man,
I'm pretty sure the code they're talking about here, Justin, is like hiding secret messages and not like practicing JavaScript. I don't think that that's the type of...
That makes a lot of sense.
Because maybe I'm worried that you think that JavaScript and like making coding to make computer softwares happen involves secrets, like a lot of secrets.
It doesn't.
If you're doing it right.
Okay.
We call them Easter eggs in the biz.
You should do this next one, whether you're a spy kid or not. practice escaping from places.
Yeah, everybody should be doing that.
A locked room, not a problem. A tree, easy. A crowded room, don't even worry about it. A crowded locked tree?
Now we're talking full Keebler elves. Mm-hmm. The secret ingredient is children.
Good luck. You and your spy team can escape from just about anywhere, including a sticky situation.
Gross. Even a sticky situation?
Never use elevators. If you get trapped in one, you're trapped.
Uh-oh. This must pain you to read.
Stairs allow for more exits.
Sure. Get out anyway. We're stairs. Go up them, down them.
Down them.
Side to side.
Whatever, man. You can jump over the railing from the higher one to the lower one.
You can do that cool thing where you fall down the holes in between the stairs.
That's so cool.
Go down the middle of it real fast, dead. Is another way.
Like Mary Poppins?
Yeah, cool.
You don't see that in us spy movies.
It will.
We gotta get out of here. Whee!
It will be easier to escape places and to sneak into them if you learn how to pick locks. A bit of a sinister tone, a bit of a sinister twist that this WikiHow article has taken.
It's actually incredibly easy to pick locks.
It's not hard.
It is difficult to pick locks in a way that you don't break them.
Okay.
But you can brute force any lock. Sleep tight.
Get used to talking in different voices. I'm Daddy Pig.
Different accents. That's important. That's it. That was so my Russian accent. All this is applicable to people who want to be podcasters. Every single this will
learn to pick locks, have lots of voices. This will mainly be helpful if you're using cell phones or walkie-talkies. Code names are a necessity, too.
Pepper, I've tracked into the FBI mainframe.
Thank you, Daddy.
I'm somewhat of an expert at hacking.
May we smash the muddy battles now, Daddy?
Okay.
That's a code. That's a code for.
Fuck it. Let's do it, Pepper.
That's a code for kill every motherfucker in the room.
All right. You lady, choose your mission.
Out, Daddy.
Choose your mission. For example, you might figure out where your guardians hid something, figure out the password to a friend's club, or find out which neighborhood dog has been dirtying your dad's prized lawn. And then do something about it.
Oh, my land.
There's no mission too small either.
Is there a mission too big?
There's no mission too small, but there might be a mission too dog murder for the spy kids to take it on. I don't feel like that's in their bailiwick.
I would like to think that if I were a spy child,
yes,
that I would not worry about missions being too small for me.
Yeah.
But rather if a government official rolled up and was like, hey, I heard that you did a great job figuring out which dog was shitting in your dad's yard.
Yeah.
Well, we need you to kill Obama, too.
Whoa. Holy shit.
He's Obama Jr.'s out there. We need you to get him and take him out.
Why?
Why?
Well, because you're the best spy kids on the block.
No. We
right, but why does Obama, too? What's wrong with Obama, too?
He's like the second. Oh, sorry. Osama,
too. Travis Patrick. It's the Max Fun Drive 2024.
Listen, it's been a long day.
This is the third thing we've recorded today. That does not give you permission to make a goof up like that in Max Fun Drive 2024.
I'm Osama.
Of course you did.
Obama 2's fine. He's an evil clone. What about that?
That was such a confusing few moments for me.
It really was.
I'm not sure if the listeners heard it, but I feel like they should have.
Cover your tracks, Travis. Make sure you and your teammates don't leave anything behind.
So
destroy
tired.
Any footprints on dirt or mud or audio recordings, and destroy any accidental fingerprints if you notice them. All papers at the scene should be recycled, and definitely no clothing or anything else personal left for curious eyes to find.
Kill any witnesses.
Take away text messages, delete text messages, emails, phone calls, and it's likely no one will see these, but it's always better to be safe than sorry.
Scrub your existence.
I'm gonna see rendezvous after the mission with your team. This is the best fucking part, guys. This is the best fucking part.
Yeah,
you meet in front of the Bellagio, in front of the water fountain. Now they're not spies, nor are they kids. Those oceans guys.
Can they crack open some Coronas like at a grill?
Yeah,
not kids. Not kids.
Spy kids can drink.
Yeah,
that's in the Constitution.
Spy kids can drink.
Right.
McGruff said as much. McGruff was like,
that one's cool.
That's why
I think we can all agree. Spy kids can drink.
That's Ruff. Right.
You've earned these, sons. Ruff. You want to drink beer like your cool friend McGruff? Then sign up.
to be a secret child cop
today.
Yum, 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 yum. You guys won't believe how good this shit tastes, but spies only.
Of course, if you were to tell us a few secrets about your friends, that might make you an honorary spy.
I'm going to skip forward to the end here.
Okay.
Do not tell any non-spies what you're up to. Only friends who are being initiated into the program should be told about your activities. Otherwise, keep it secret and low-key. Some might be jealous and some might blab your secret. The fewer people who know, the better.
But if all spies are acting like that, how do you know who's a spy and who's not?
The fact that you have to ask that question, yeah. Travis.
Just shows how ignorant you are.
Like, if I need to recruit someone, I'll do it in like a cool hacker way.
Like how? Can you show me?
I'll do like they'll be driving. Oh, shit, it's kids. They'll be the backseat of the car that their parents are driving, and they'll drive by a road sign, and I'll hack it for just a second. It's like, Toby, open your email.
Hey, Griffin?
Yeah.
I'm not a spy. You shouldn't have told me that. You're going to jail.
Oh. Well, that was an fuck. I can't, but wait, you are a spy, Travis.
Fuck, I am.
You are actually a spy. But our listeners are also now spies. Fuck.
Yeah, sorry, you're all
spies.
We
made the club way too big, dude.
Yeah, we did. That one's on us.
Time to pay your dues to the club. And the best way of doing that is going to MaximumFun.org/join and signing up. This is our last pitch. And I want to say, first of all, like we do every year, thank you so much for all of your support and for over the years for helping to make it possible for us to do this. This is a good time of year to remember to say thank you for that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If you don't yet support the show and you get something out of it, and you can, obviously not everybody's in a place to, we understand that completely. But if you can, even pledging $5 a month is really helps us out a lot, because those donations combined make it possible for us to pay the people who help us to make the shows, to make time for it every week, to do the other streams and other things that we do. It's all thanks to your generosity, and we really, really appreciate it. But it's not just hollow generosity. We got gifts, Trav.
We do have gifts. I just wanted to say one more thing real quick, where like maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking like, I'm thinking about it. I want to. I'm not near my computer. I don't know. And the fact of the matter is like, you might feel like, you know, $5 a month, or like I'm one person, whatever, right? But the thing is, the show, the network, all of this is based off of everybody coming together to show that support. Individuals, right? This isn't a big corporate structure where we have, like, I don't know, people financing the whole thing, one person making the decisions. This is everybody as individuals giving whatever they can and coming together as one group to build out the whole network. So every single person matters.
It's a co-op. You know, this isn't a podcast network that's going to be bought out by a big media company and then summarily dispatched. It's your podcast network because you helped make it happen. So if you would like to join that group, at $5 a month, we said you get the bonus content, and that's all great. But at $10 a month, we've got some beautiful pins for you. Based on the different shows, you can choose whatever one you like. At $20 a month, you have a choice to make, a big one. We have a Max Fun bucket hat with the Maximum Fun logo on it. And if you are someone whose head is of a size, perhaps a certain carriage that perhaps a 7 1/8 hat would not fit you, we have...
Maybe your head would laugh at that size hat, right?
We have a bandana that's this Games on the Go set. That's a bandana that turns into a checker or chessboard, and you can play... It has little pieces, and you can play on your bandana. How charming is that? But of course, the gifts are just a thank you. The real thing is, please help us to make these shows, because we love doing it.
I'm going to say one more thing that I think is very incredible and people at home might not realize. It's rare, not just in podcasting, but in a lot of different things, to be able to say this. But even though we are on this network, we own this show, right? We own Adventure Zone. This is our thing. Max Fun supports our show and says, make the show you guys want to make, that people want to hear. We're not like getting notes from them, or they don't tell us that, none of that stuff, right? They purely exist to support us and facilitate like us making the thing that we love, the thing that we want to. And that is rarer and rarer these days.
For sure.
To be able to like have the opportunity without getting, you know, I don't know, having to make cuts or having to you know, change things. And so support us, and you also support the network. It goes both ways, and the network supports us. And it's just a very lovely thing to be a part of.
Yes, and we appreciate you. MaximumFun.org/join is the link you can go to. You can start a new membership there. You can boost yours or upgrade it to a new level to get the prizes. One new thing this year is that you can also pay up front for the whole year if you don't want to worry about having a recurring charge on your card that you have to, you know, keep in the back of your mind. You can just pay up front for the whole year, and that, you know, obviously helps the same amount and helps us a great deal. All of that is at MaximumFun.org/join. If you are sitting at a computer or at a screen right now and you think you might want to do this, then do it now before you forget.
Please.
Because we don't have much more time running here in this year's drive. And we have no idea how we're doing so far.
Yes.
So the tone of this is we're a bit in the weeds, but... we appreciate you so much.
And more people tell me, like, I listen to it with my kid in the car. And if that's true, they should really have a membership, too.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, they're kind of just wheezing the juice off of yours. So maybe sign them up for one so they're not freeloading anymore. You know what I mean?
And don't pay for theirs.
No.
Like,
no.
This is an important life lesson. Right, exactly. Thank you to Montaigne for these for a theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a great track, great tune. And we are so, so grateful. To be working with Montaigne. And do we have a wish for Fungalore?
Of course we do.
We do.
I'd be happy to. This is from BR, age 6.
Why?
I wish we didn't have to sleep. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother, May. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.